Well, we've been looking at some different attributes of God lately. We've looked at God is just and merciful. God is good. What did we look at last week? Anybody remember? What? Truthful? God is spirit. Yeah, thank you. God is spirit. Okay, and today we're looking at God is imminent. Imminent. That's with an A-N. Not imminent as in immediately, but imminent as he is personal and can be known by his creation. Deism holds that there is a God who started the universe, but we really don't know much about him, and he really isn't involved with the world at all. And that is not the God of the Bible. Our scripture reading this morning, if you'd like to stand, is going to be Acts 17, 22 through 31. This is where Paul is preaching to some people who are philosophers, religious people, and he's going to tell them about the God of the universe. So our scripture reading this morning, Acts 17, 22 through 31. Then Paul stood in the midst of the Areopagus and said, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious. For I was passing through and considering the objects of your worship, and I even found an altar to this inscription, to the unknown God. Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing, him I proclaim to you, God who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. And he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and the boundaries of their dwellings, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far off from each of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As also some of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. Therefore, since we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, something shaped by art and man's devising. Truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. And he has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead." May the Lord bless the reading of his word. We know from God's word that he is all-powerful. We can see from the creation of the world that God, who created this world, is all-powerful. But that isn't what makes our God wonderful. It's not just that he has power, but he is intimately involved in every aspect of his creation. And that's what makes it so wonderful. Not only does he have power, but he cares. We see from God's word from Colossians chapter 1 that God sustains his creation by upholding it. In Colossians 1, talking of Christ, he says, "He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist." There's not one thing that exists without the hand of God upholding it. Acts 17:25, we just read that portion of Acts 17, says, "Nor is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things." God is the sustainer of His creation. At any moment in time, if He decided to, He could let His hand down and we would all perish immediately. Not only does He uphold His creation, but He also has a plan for His creation. Jeremiah 29, 11 through 13, passage that you guys know very well. "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. And then you will call upon me and go and pray to me and will listen to, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." John 17, 3 says, "And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." You see, God has a plan for this creation that He made. And He has a plan for you and your life. And it's a wonderful plan. And one of the main aspects of that plan is for you to know God. For you to know Him and His Son, Jesus Christ, whom He sent. Roger Sims was hitchhiking his way home, and he would never forget the day, the date, May 7th. His heavy suitcase made him tired. He was anxious to take off his army uniform once and for all. He was hitchhiking, so he put up his thumb, and there was an oncoming car. But he lost hope when he saw that it was a black man in a new Cadillac. But to his surprise, the car stopped. The passenger door opened. He ran toward the car. He tossed the suitcase in the back and he thanked the handsome, well-dressed man as he slid into the front seat. "Going home for keeps?" "Sure am," Roger responded. "Well, you're in luck if you're going to Chicago." "Not quite that far. Do you live in Chicago?" "I have a business there. My name is Hanover." After talking about many things, Roger, a Christian, felt a compulsion to witness to this 50-ish, apparently successful businessman about Christ. But he kept putting it off until he realized that he was just 30 minutes from his home. It was now or never. So Roger cleared his throat. "Mr. Hanover, I would like to talk to you about something very important." He then proceeded to explain the way of salvation and ultimately asked Mr. Hanover if he would like to receive Christ as his Savior. To Roger's astonishment, the Cadillac pulled over to the side of the road. Roger thought that he was going to be ejected from the car. But the businessman bowed his head and received Christ. And he thanked Roger. "This is the greatest thing that has ever happened to me." 5 years went by, and Roger got married. He had a 2-year-old boy and a business of his own. One time he was packing for a trip to Chicago. He found a small white business card with Hanover on it. He had given it to him 5 years before. So when he got to Chicago, he looked up Hanover Enterprises. A receptionist told him it was impossible to see Mr. Hanover, but he could see Mrs. Hanover. A little confused as to what was going on, he was ushered into a lovely office and found himself facing a keen-eyed woman in her 50s. She extended her hand. "You knew my husband?" Roger told her how he had given him a ride when hitchhiking home after the war. "Can you tell me when that was?" "It was May 7th, 5 years ago, the day I was discharged from the army." "Anything special about that day?" Roger hesitated. Should he mention giving his witness? Since he had come so far, he figured he might as well take the plunge. "Mrs. Hanover, I explained the gospel." He pulled over to the side of the road, and he wept against the steering wheel, and he gave his life to Christ that day. Explosive sobs shook her body, and getting a grip on herself, she sobbed, "I had prayed for my husband's salvation for years. I believed God would save him." "And," said Roger, "where is your husband, Mrs. Hanover?" He's dead. She wept, struggling with the words. He was in a car crash after he let you out of the car. He never got home. You see, I thought God had not kept his promise. Sobbing uncontrollable, she added, I stopped living for God 5 years ago because I thought God had not kept his word. You see, our God is awesome. He is involved with his creation. He sustains it. And he has a wonderful plan for it. We see, not only does God have a plan for his creation, but his plan is that he can be known by his creation. Many gods are afar off, but our God is near. Jeremiah 23 talks about that. The children of Israel were listening to prophets who were not being told by God what to say. They were saying other things and telling people that were doing wrong that they would be blessed. And God said through the prophet Jeremiah, Am I a God near at hand, says the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can anyone hide himself in a secret place so I shall not see him, says the Lord? Do I not feel heaven and earth, says the Lord? In Acts 17, as we read earlier, it says, So that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. Jesus, in Matthew chapter 1, when it was spoken of that Mary would give birth, and says, So all of this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. James 4:8, Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. You see, our God is a God that cares intimately about you. He cares about what you're going through on a day-to-day basis. He cares about your eternal state. And that is why he sent his Son and called his name Emmanuel. God with us. God with me. He's my God. Not only is he near, but he has spoken to us. Hebrews chapter 1 says, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, he has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. He sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Longing to leave her poor Brazilian neighborhood, Christina wanted to see the world. Discontented with a home having only a pallet on the floor, a wash basin, and a wood-burning stove, she dreamed of a better life in the city. One morning, she slipped away, breaking her mother's heart, knowing that what life on the streets would be like for a young, attractive daughter. Maria, the mother, hurriedly packed to go find her. On her way to the bus stop, she entered a drugstore to get one last thing, pictures. And she sat in the photograph booth and closed the curtain and spent all that she could on pictures of herself. With her purse full of small black and white photos, she boarded the next bus to Rio de Janeiro. Maria knew Christina had no way of earning money, and she also knew that her daughter was too stubborn to give up. And when pride meets hunger, a human will do things that were before unthinkable. Knowing this, Maria began her search, bars, hotels, nightclubs, any place with a reputation for streetwalkers or prostitutes. She went to them all, and at each place she left her picture, taped on a bathroom mirror, tacked to a hotel bulletin board, or fastened to a corner phone booth. It wasn't too long before the money and the pictures ran out, and Maria had to go home. The weary mother wept as the bus began its long journey back to her small village. It was a few weeks later that young Katrina descended the hotel stairs. Her young face was tired. Her brown eyes no longer danced with the youth, but spoke of pain and fear. Her laughter was broken. Her dream had become a nightmare. 1,000 times over, she had longed to trade those countless beds for her secure pallet. Yet the little village was, in too many ways, too far away. As she reached the bottom of the stairs, her eyes noticed a familiar face, and she looked again, and there on the lobby mirror was a small picture of her mother. Christina's eyes burned, and her throat tightened as she walked across the room, and she removed the small photo, and written on the back was this compelling invitation: "Whatever you have done, whatever you have become, it doesn't matter. Please come home." And so she did. And that's what the God of the universe says to you. He loves you so much. And He sent His Son in a message that says, whatever you've done, whatever you've become, it doesn't matter. Come home. I love you. He wants to have a relationship with you. He wants to uphold you by His power. He is intimately involved in His creation. As I was doing my devotions this week, I read this account of Hezekiah, and I want to share it with you because it shows how much God loves His people. In Isaiah 38, we find this account of Hezekiah. It says, "In those days Hezekiah became sick. He was near death. And Isaiah, the man of God, the son of Amoz, came to him and said, 'The Lord says, make those of your house ready, for you will die and not live.' And Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord and said, 'O Lord, I ask you from my heart to remember now how I have walked with you in truth and with a whole heart. I have done what is good in your eyes.' And Hezekiah cried with a bitter cry. And the word of the Lord came to Isaiah saying, 'Go and tell Hezekiah, the Lord God of your father David says, I have heard your prayer, and I have seen your tears, and I will add 15 years to your life. And I will take you and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will fight for this city. This is the special thing for you to see from the Lord, that the Lord will do what He has said. See the shadow on the steps, which has gone down. The son of the steps... See the shadow on the steps which has gone down with the sun on the steps of Ahaz. I will make it go back 10 steps. So the sun's shadow went back the 10 steps it had gone down." The steps he's talking about is a lot of times that's how they would tell time. They didn't have wristwatches back then. And so they would build buildings that would show as the sun goes down throughout the day, it would show what time it is. And so God said, "I'm going to show you that I'm going to do this thing in your life. I'm going to heal you and I'm going to give you another 15 years. And as evidence, I will make that shadow go back 10 steps. You know, it's an amazing thing. I think about Jim, who's in the hospital. If I'm honest, there are several times when I thought he would already no longer be here. But I see those little granddaughters of his and how they pray for him. And we've prayed for him in our church. And God has answered that prayer and has sustained him to this point. We don't know if he'll get better. We trust that to the Lord. But God answers our prayers. He listens. And He loves us so much. Isaiah 38, 9 and 10 says, "This is the writing of Hezekiah of Judah after he had been sick and became well again. I said, halfway through my life, I am going through the gates of the place of the dead. The rest of my years have been kept from me." And he continues on talking about his sorrow, that he was no longer going to live. Then he says in verse 16, "O Lord, by these things men live, and in all these is the life of my spirit. O heal me and let me live. See, it was for my own well-being that I was bitter, but you have kept my soul from the grave that destroys. You have put all of my sins behind your back. The place of the dead cannot thank you. Death cannot praise you. Those who go down to the grave cannot hope that you will be faithful. It is the living who gives thanks to you, as I do today. A father tells his son about how faithful you are. The Lord will save me, and we will sing my songs with harps all the days of our life in the house of the Lord." And now Isaiah had said, "Let them take cakes of figs and put it on the sore that he may get well." That should be our attitude. That should be our attitude. What Hezekiah says, "It is the living who gives thanks to you as I do today." We should tell our children and our others about how faithful God has been to us in honor and recognition of his work. We must recognize that the Lord will save us, and we must put our trust wholly in him. Some trust in chariots. Some trust in money. But we must trust in the name of the Lord our God. It's a very powerful illustration I want to close with, and I hope it speaks to your heart. Dr. Helen Rosevear was serving as a missionary in Africa, Zaire, Africa, and she helped a mother of a 2-year-old girl give birth to a premature baby. Sadly, the mother died from complications during the delivery, and the 2-year-old little girl was understandably devastated that her mother had passed away. Keeping the newborn alive was a struggle for Dr. Rosevear and her medical team. They had no incubator, so keeping the premature baby warm became the most pressing challenge, especially during the chilly, windy nights that were typical of Central Africa. Their best option was a hot water bottle. Unfortunately, the only hot water bottle they had burst that night as they were filling it. So they did what they could, putting the baby as close to the fire as safe as possible and sleeping between the baby and the door to protect it from the harmful drafts. The next morning, Dr. Rosevear went to have prayers with the orphan children. She gave the kids various things to pray about and mentioned the newborn baby and her 2-year-old sister. She told them about the hot water bottle bursting and their struggle to keep the baby warm. And during the prayer time, a 10-year-old little girl named Ruth, boldly before God, prayed to send a hot water bottle that day so the baby wouldn't die. She finished her prayer with this request: "While you're about it, would you please send a dolly for the little girl so she'll know that you really love her?" Little Ruth's audacious prayer took the good doctor off guard and put her on the spot. She didn't know if she could honestly say amen. She didn't believe that God would, or maybe even could, answer her prayer. The only way, she thought, it would be possible is if she received a package from her homeland, which she hadn't in nearly 4 years. Later that afternoon, a 22-pound package arrived at the doctor's doorstep, and she was so excited that she couldn't open the package alone, so she sent for the orphan children to come to her home. Together, they opened the large cardboard box, and one by one, Dr. Rosevear revealed its contents. Along with knitted jerseys and bandages and dried fruits, she eventually pulled out a brand new hot water bottle. The place, of course, erupted with tears of joy. Moments later, Ruth, the little girl who prayed, rushed up to the box and asked about the dolly. And yep, it was sitting at the bottom of the box. It was a small, beautiful dress dolly. As it turns out, the package had been sent 5 months earlier by the doctor's former Sunday school class, whose leader had felt God prompting him to send a water bottle. One of the girls from the class had also put in a doll for an African girl. God loves you. And He is outside of time. He is looking at everything. All of His creation from beginning to the end. And He searches. His eyes go to and fro, searching for people that He can uphold, who are pure in heart, who will come before Him and say, God, I trust in Your Son. And He wants to make Himself strong to them. Our God is an imminent God, a very personal and loving God. Let us praise Him. Let us pray. Dear gracious God, our Father, You are so wonderful. Our minds can't even comprehend the wonder and the beauty of who You are. Lord, I just pray that Your Spirit would embolden us and encourage us this week as we go through our daily walk, that we would know how wonderful and mighty You are, that we would be desiring to pray to You and to have that relationship that You so strongly desire to have with us, that we would read the words that You have written to us through Your prophets and through Your Son, and most importantly, through Your Holy Spirit. Lord, You have given us a wonderful message of joy and reconciliation, not only for us, but for the whole world. Many gods are far off. In reality, they don't even exist. But You are a God who is close. You are close to the brokenhearted. You are close to those who repent. Lord, help us to see our sin as You see it, that we might repent and that we would have that relationship, that bond of closeness that we so strongly desire. Lord, oftentimes we go off looking at other things to fulfill those desires when only truly You can fulfill it. Lord, help us to put ourselves down and the wants and desires of our flesh and to take You up. And to taste and see that You are a good God. You are a loving God and a merciful God. I thank You so much, Lord, for what You're doing in my life, for how You encourage me and my family. In Jesus' name I pray.